Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Today we begin Holy Week with Palm Sunday as we move closer to Jesus' death on the cross on Good Friday and the celebration of his resurrection on Easter Sunday. And what a celebration it will be. You know, this week is your last opportunity to extend an invitation to those that you're praying for and believing to come with you. Grab an invitation off the seat if you're here in the house. If you're not, you can stop by the church and pick up an invitation. We'd love to see this place filled to capacity. And let's start with Good Friday. Let's believe that we would just have a wonderful day for our communion services with breakfast for the entire family. This is something we look forward to all year. And of course, our Easter Sunday celebrations. And so for those of you that are joining us on our online campus, you will be able to live stream the service at 9 a.m. on Good Friday, the same as on Sundays. And if you're active in socials, take the time to go to our Calvary social media page, Instagram, Facebook, X, whatever it may be, and share one of the invitations that we currently have. Let's get the word out. Let's tell everybody. And if you're not a kind of person that's into socials, that's fine. Give someone a call the old-fashioned way. Send them a text. Talk to them in person. Whatever you have to do, don't just invite them. Bring them with you on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday. A big welcome to all of you that may be joining us for the very first time, whether you're joining us online or here on site. We're so happy that you're here. We're so glad that you've carved out this time as we come together as a family and celebrate one of the most significant weekends in our calendar. Now, if you're here today and you're here for the first time, especially if you're joining us online, tell one of our hosts. Let us know where you're joining us from. We'd love to hear that. If you're here today, do the same. Fill out a guest card. Drop it off at the Welcome Center. We'd like to stay in touch and get you the resources that you need. You know, to me, the days leading up to Easter, they're filled with a sense of renewed hope and possibilities of what's to come, what can happen. And in a world where people today are often reduced to labels, whether it's failures or the hopeless or just another random face in the crowd, the story of Easter reveals something deeply personal, that Jesus knows our names. Palm Sunday begins with crowds shouting his name. And Good Friday reveals the power in that name. And then Easter Sunday represents the resurrected Jesus calling us by name into this new life. Isaiah 43:1, in the second part of that verse, God speaks directly to the nation of Israel and by extension speaks to you and me as his chosen ones. When he says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Very powerful words. We call his name. His name saves us. He calls our name. He triumphed over the absolute worst that the world could throw at him. And he used that symbol, the symbol of the cross, as a symbol of hope that to this day shines in the night and shines more importantly in our hearts because that's where he abides. He gave everything that he had on that cross so that you and I could live the life he was laying down in that moment. Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And his triumphant entry into Jerusalem today marks the beginning of a week that would change everything. Palm Sunday is a day when we celebrate him as Messiah, as Savior, Deliverer, and King. He's the hope of Israel, but he's also the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the Lord of all. And so before Jesus calls us by name, people first need to recognize his. Holy Week moves from the crowd calling his name to the cross, revealing the power in his name, all the way through to the resurrection, where he calls your name redeemed. That's the change. That's the transformation. This day represents the moment when the crowds publicly declare his names and his titles. But many still didn't understand what kind of a savior he actually was. Jesus isn't just another figure in history. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. But what's in a name, right? Our names are important to us. I think if you come across somebody that you recently met, and then you see them sometime later, and they remember your name, you feel nice, right? You're like, oh, he remembered my name. That's a notable thing. But the flip side of that is true as well. When you feel that somebody that you should know your name doesn't, or they call you by the wrong name, and it just irks you. It's not a good feeling at all. Because in an instant, we can be made to feel valued or welcome when they remember our name, or devalued when they don't. I remember two words that stood out to me. They were very simple words. Hey, Steve! Those two words. Not complicated, but two words that made all the difference in the world to me when I first started visiting a church much like the one that you're in today. You know, back when I was in my teens, my folks took me to a church that I had never been to before, that I really didn't want to go to, so I reluctantly went. And as I stood in the lobby of that church with a bunch of people going past me that I'd never met before in my life, I didn't really feel comfortable. I was out of my element. Matter of fact, I thought to myself, I'm never coming back here again. But then I met somebody. Before I ever met my future wife, I met her older brother, Joey. And he just saw me looking probably a little lost and confused in the foyer and said, hey, my name's Joe. What's your name? And I told him. And that moment came and went so quickly that I didn't think anything of it. Until the next Sunday, I returned with my family. And from across the lobby, I heard, hey, Steve. It was Joey. He called me by name. And at the time, he was volunteering on a team of sound technicians that were serving in the sound room. And so he motioned to me, and I followed him, and he took me to the sound room where it was kind of where he camped out on Sundays. But that sound room became my refuge for the weeks to follow. Now I felt like I had a place to go. Now I felt like I belonged. I knew that when I went, I would see him. He introduced me to other people on the team. I got to know them. They got to know me. Now, he was also involved in the drama ministry. He said, hey, why don't you come out to this thing? And I'm like, I don't know if I'm into that. But you know what? Because I knew him and trusted him, I said, sure, I'll give it a go. Next thing you know, I'm in a drama that I didn't think that would be something that would interest me. And yet I was in it because I was in it because I had a relationship with him and with the other people that I was getting to know. Through him, I met other people on the team that served in different parts of the church. I got involved in the student ministry. And then I would eventually meet his younger sister, who would someday become my bride. And over time, I would answer the call of God on my life to full-time ministry. Who would have thought it would all start with two simple words, hey, Steve, right? The calling of one's name has more significance than we understand. Now, Jesus in Scripture is referred to by many different names, all in an attempt to describe who God is and who he was in the moment. And yet even today, to this day, people are still trying to describe him based on what they need from him. More than 100 times throughout Scripture, the phrase, the Lamb of God, is used to describe Jesus. And 25% of the 104 times that this name is mentioned come from the book of Revelation. So this is how heaven describes who Jesus is, as the Lamb of God. In John 1:29, it says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Now, this unusual name had deep meaning, deeper than we may understand at first read, that was connected to what we need in our lives instead of what we want or what we want him to do for us. Now, for those without a Christian or Jewish context, the significance of this name is easily missed. And when God instituted the Passover in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, which involved the sacrifice of a spotless lamb as the meal for this family, and then also took the blood and put it over the doorposts of their house to protect them from the plague of death that swept through the city in Egypt as judgment against Pharaoh. This tradition, this understanding would be passed down through generations. But more importantly, it foreshadowed the final lamb to be sacrificed for our sin. Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, was the Father's plan to forever redeem his people through Calvary's cross. Now, fast forward 1,400 years, and Jesus is on the earth. And on this Palm Sunday, 1 week before his resurrection, he's riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Not a fancy ride, not something that you think he was worthy of, but nonetheless, fulfilling prophecy, he did what he knew to do. The city was filled with people hustling and bustling, getting ready to celebrate the Passover. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Let's read verses 4 through 11. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city, it was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now, just imagine a city filled with people waving branches, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This was like a Super Bowl parade coming down the road. Now, interestingly enough, they were calling the right name in this moment, but did they really understand who Jesus was? You know, as we step into Palm Sunday, the day the crowd recognizes Jesus and calls his name in a public setting, many still really didn't fully grasp his mission, what he'd been called to do. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says, "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us." You see, that was his mission. That was his purpose. So what is this lamb all about? It's all about Jesus. And it will forever be a picture that his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, his life freely given for our freedom. We've now been made part of his family, and now we have heaven as our home someday. You know, in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul appeals to Christ followers to cultivate humility in their lives, to emulate Christ, even though his name was high above every other name. Philippians chapter 2, 9 to 11 says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So the encouragement here through Paul is to emulate Jesus, to be humble, but also the words that we just read, they affirm his divinity. They affirm his power and his authority. You know, John Knox, a Scottish minister and theologian from the 1500s, once said, "No one else holds or has held the place in the heart of the world which Jesus holds. Other gods have been as devoutly worshipped. No other man has been so devoutly loved." No higher name. Today may represent the moment when the crowds publicly declared his name and shouted out his titles, who they understood him to be. But again, still, people were struggling to understand who this prophet really was. Before Jesus calls our name, we too must recognize him in our lives. Recognize, more importantly, our need for him in our lives. So what's the difference between what we want and what we need when we call out to Jesus? Well, it's all found in a name. So in this scripture, as we read these verses, who do we hear calling his name? The first group that we see is that the crowd calls his name. As Jesus entered the city in this procession, the crowd calls him King and Savior and the Son of David. Matthew 21:9 says, "The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" You see, they welcomed him that day as a victorious king. Again, listen, names carry with them great expectation. When you hear a doctor's name, what do we expect? We expect healing. If we're struggling in our health, when we hear a teacher's name, we expect instruction, that we grow in our understanding. On that day, the crowd shouted Jesus' name, and many of them were expecting political rescue. But Jesus had something much, much bigger in mind: redemption. That is a much bigger thing indeed. The second group that we see is the desperate. The desperate calls his name. The people who were desperate and broken, they cried out for a Savior to solve their problems, right? Whether it was personal, financial, or national. We're a mess. You've got to help us here. Psalm 118, verse 25 captures that cry very well. It says, "Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success." You know, sometimes we call Jesus' name hoping he'll fix what we think is broken. But he's always leading us to something far greater. He's always leading us to heart transformation, to freedom, to eternal life. So the crowd calls his name. The desperate calls his name. The third group we see is the militant. The militant call his name. Some hope Jesus would be the long-awaited conquering king, would finally put this amazing army together and they would crush their enemy, that oppression would finally be broken and justice would be served. Zechariah 9:9 says something a little different when it comes to how this king was truly to be understood. It says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey," riding on a donkey's colt. You see, this was the king that they didn't expect. Jesus' entrance is humble, not militant. He's not the war machine that they hoped he could be. You see, in a world that equates greatness with power, Jesus showed that true strength actually looks more like humility. And then finally, the last group that we see is creation itself. Even creation calls his name. Sometimes even when people fail to recognize Jesus, his greatness cannot and it will not be contained. As the people spread their clothes on the ground, they wave palm branches and drop them on the ground during the triumphant entry, praising God for the miracles they saw, they cried out in Luke 19, 38 to 40, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Verse 39 says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd, they were not happy. They said to Jesus, "Teacher, come on, man, like, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." I don't know about you, but I'm not losing my role in this world and in God's kingdom to a bunch of rocks. But you know what? If I won't, they will. Creation will cry out his greatness. I want to encourage all of you today, whether you're at home or whether you're here in the house, to step into your own Hosanna moment, where we find ourselves considering who or what we're calling on Jesus to do in our lives today. And that could be very different as all of us are. Today we call on his name. By Good Friday, his name will save us. And on Easter morning, he will call our name. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, help us to recognize you for who you truly are, not for who we want you to be. In this moment, I pray that you would meet each person, either here in the house in this moment or joining us online. Move in a powerful way. Reveal yourself to each of them. Cause them to know that when we call upon you, that when we call on your name and recognize who you are, that you are at work and moving in our lives. We trust you, Lord, with this. As we prepare for the Easter weekend and Good Friday, Lord, help us to continue to pray for and reach out to those that we love and we are inviting. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now this week, I want you to do three very important things as we approach Good Friday. I want you to pray, I want you to invite people, and I want you to participate. Be a part of it yourself, because it's going to be an incredible weekend as we celebrate together. See you on Good Friday.